Come on, come on, come on. That clap was for you, but we're going to clap for Jesus one time. Good morning, Rock Church. I said, good morning, Rock Church. I want to say hello to everybody here in this room, all of our locations tuning in, all of our friends online. My name is Allison. I have the profound privilege to serve as the youth and young adult pastor here for our church. I'm so grateful that here and across our locations, you decided to come here and hear from the Lord. We came here today not only to worship and to see our friends, but I do believe that today every single person came to hear from the Lord through his word. Can I get an amen? And so I'm so excited to see what God's going to do through our time today. Over the last couple of weeks, our pastor has been walking us through a series on apologetics, and it's been guiding us on how to have hard conversations about our faith. And for the next 2 weeks, today and next week, Sunday, we're going to take a little break and just cover conversations that we can have as a group and as a family. And so I'm excited for what God's going to do today and also next week. Now, as I was preparing for this message, going into this weekend, I had a heavy heart, as many of you have had. I've had a sensitivity to what's going on in our world. And as I was going for a run, I just kept thinking to myself, man, Lord, our world is so broken. And we say often as time, as believers, how much we want Jesus. But when you look at the dynamic of what's happening in this world, saying we want Jesus isn't enough. We need Jesus. Can I get an amen? Wanting, I want to go back to bed. I want in and out, but I need Jesus. Can I get an amen? And so as I was praying and preparing for this message, I asked God, what is it that you want to share to your sons and daughters? What do you want me to communicate to them today? And I believe this is what he impressed on my heart to share with everyone here in this room and all of our locations. And he said, daughter, remind my children of this, that I have called every single person here in this room to a specific assignment. I have called them to a specific assignment, and my presence still remains with them. And if you needed that encouragement today, like I did too, I was like, God, there's so much happening in this world. Are you still here? And he said, remind everyone. I'm reminding you too, Allie, that you're on assignment. Everyone here who has breath, you have an assignment. And the presence of God has not left us. He is closer than ever before. And so what I want to do before we get into today's message and reading, I want to just read this passage over you so this can get into your heart. And it reads this. Ephesians 2:10, it says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. If you have breath in your lungs, if you're here in this room, if you're watching across our locations, this verse is for you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for all of these people who are here in this room today. I know for a fact they did not come to hear from me. They came to hear from you. And so, Father, I remove myself from the equation and ask that you would increase right now. I submit myself to you and I decrease and pray that you would just take my voice. Give me your words and I will communicate it to your sons and daughters. Holy Spirit, we invite you into this room and the spaces in all of our locations. Would you do what only you can do? In Jesus' name we pray, everyone says, and all the saints say. Now, being a pastor, one of the things that I have learned over the years is that all of your private stories are fair game. Everyone gets to hear it. Everyone gets to be a part of it. And so what I'm getting ready to share, what happens in here stays in here. Can I get an amen? Now, I want to tell you guys a story about how your girl in high school managed to get impeached as president of the ASB. You're probably wondering, how on earth can you get impeached as a president in high school? Don't worry, I'm going to tell you how I did it, okay? So I became the president of the ASB in high school. Is anybody in ASB? Any of my overachievers? All right, God bless you, all two of you. That's all right. So I was the president of the ASB. And when you give a 17-year-old that much power, their head is so big, they can't even get through the door. And I just knew that I can get away with things. I had a way with words. I always kind of had this kind of thing that everyone liked to follow me. And so I had a brilliant idea that I was going to take on my influence and throw a massive party and invite everybody. And not only was I going to throw a massive party, I'm going to charge everybody for it, because your girl was not only an evangelist, she's an entrepreneur as well. And so I decided to take all of my friends, and since I was an evangelist for this occasion, I wanted to go all citywide with it. I wanted to go to every school and pass out that I was gonna throw a party that everyone can buy. $3 for girls, $5 for guys. Go ahead and use your money from your parents to get in. We were gonna do it, B-I-G. And so we went all over the place, and we went to one school. And I'm not gonna tell you the name of school, because some of y'all are real nosy, but just know we went to a school. And after school, we were passing out these flyers, and we thought we were just excited. Everyone was hyped about going to this party. And then out of nowhere, like down the way, I see this like person in a cart driving towards me. And I'm like, nah, she's not coming this way. And then after a while, she started getting close, and I was like, oh man, she's coming this way. We are cooked. And so she comes up to me. And of course, as a student, you kind of want to be hard, but you're also scared at the same time. And she looked at me and she said, what are you doing here? And I kind of just went like, well, just inviting my friends to something this weekend. And so she grabbed the flyer out of my hand and she said, oh, so you're throwing a party that's promoting underage drinking. That's what you're doing. And I was like, just shaking. So she says, get off the campus. So we ended up having the party and it was epic. Probably made $100. I'm not gonna front and act like we made a bunch of money. We have it and I thought we were good. Then Monday morning came, and it was lunchtime, and I heard, Allison Mercer, can you report to the principal's office? And that's when I thought God was gonna take me then. So I go, and I start hearing all of my friends' names across the intercom, and one by one, we file into the office. And as I walk in, I see a row of adults, and I recognize that two of those adults are my parents. And I'm like, I'm for sure going to heaven today, today. And so they're looking at me, I'm looking at them. My parents are Caribbean, so at this point, she looks at me, I'm already dead. And the principal is talking and she looks right at me and she says, what kind of president takes their influence and encourages young people to go and do underage drinking? What kind of president not only promotes this, but also brings their friends to do the same thing? And then she got all dramatic and said, from this day forth, I declare and decree that you will no longer be the president of this school. Not only you, but all your friends. All of you guys now will have to be in a freshman gym class for the rest of the year. And as you met, yeah, I was cooked. And I remember thinking to myself, oh my gosh, my life is over. And at the time, I was living lukewarm. I had one foot in the church and one foot out. And I couldn't help but think, man, God, the little that I knew about you, are you still on my life? Are you still like going before me? Do you still have anything? Do you still want anything to do with me? Now, some of you here in this room today may not have gotten impeached from being the president of your school, but I'm sure you probably have had moments where you've wondered, God, are you still with me? God, are you still on my life? Are you still like speaking over the things that I am doing? Are you still resting on the relationship that I'm a part of? Are you still on the job that I've been pursuing? Are you still here? Now, in today's passage, we're gonna go over a person, a leader who had a similar moment where he was wondering where God was. He was so fearful that he had lost the presence of God on his life. And I hope that through this message today that you will be reassured that God is committed to keeping his presence on your life. If you will, can you turn to Exodus chapter 33? And we're going to read verses 11 through 17. And as you are turning your Bibles or looking on the Bible app, I'm going to give you guys some context for what we're getting ready to read. Now, In this passage that we're getting ready to read, the background story is that the children of Israel were held captive in Egypt and they were crying out for a savior. And they were asking God to deliver them from their bondage. And as the story goes, we know that God sent a leader by the name of Moses to take them out of Egypt. So they're out of Egypt and they begin this journey to the promised land. But along the way, per usual and on brand, things get a little interesting. And leading up into the passage that we're getting ready to read, we see that they're in the wilderness. And for whatever reason, Moses goes up into the mountain and they don't see that guy for a long time. And as you look through the passages, and I was counting how many chapters, there was actually 10 chapters where we have no idea where Moses was. So the Israelites are like freaking out and they're like, you know what? Our leader is gone, so we're gonna go and build a calf and we're gonna worship him and we're gonna worship this calf and we're gonna have someone that's gonna take care of us. And we all know making idols and worshiping idols is not the thing. So as we know in the passage, God is seeing his people form idols and worship idols, and he's like, bro, Moses, you gotta get back down there because our people are tripping. They are tripping once again. So Moses comes back down and God said, you know what? You guys can continue this journey onto the promised land, but I'm gonna send my angel before you. I'm gonna send my angel. You guys can keep going, but I'm gonna send an angel. So things get a little de-escalated and Moses goes to the tent and he begins pleading with the Lord. And that takes us to our passage that we're gonna read today, starting at verse 11. And it reads this. Moses said to the Lord, you have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Sorry, from verse 11. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. Moses said to the Lord, you have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways, so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember, this is your nation. This is your people. And the Lord replied, my presence will go with you. I will give you rest. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? So what's going on here, right? We have this passage here where it's making it very clear that Moses had unprecedented access to God. And we see that in verse 11. But as the conversation continues, we see that Moses is starting to get a little anxious. And he's like, hey, God, you called me to this assignment. You asked me to lead these people, but you haven't told me who's going with me. You haven't shared who's going to be on the other side. I know the destination is the promised land, but you haven't told me who's coming with me. And we can see the angst. We can see that Moses knows that the promised land's on the horizon, but he's more concerned about who's gonna be with him and who's not. And God responds and tells him, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. So God makes it clear. He hears Moses' cry. He hears Moses' anxiousness and says, I'm gonna come with you. But then Moses responds again and freaks out and says, no, God, I'm not going anywhere unless I know you are coming with me. And I'm like, wait a minute. God just told you that he's coming with me, that he's coming with you. Why are you freaking out and wondering if the presence of God is with you? And in my head, I think to myself, I was like reading this passage and I said, man, are these verses talking about how we need to be desperate for the presence of God and how we need to worship and seek his face and go and do all these things? And yes, all of these things are true. But what I've come to realize is that this passage is revealing the very reality that we all face. Where there's moments in our life, even when we know the truth that God is with us, that we are afraid that somehow We've lost his presence. Somehow he's no longer with us. Somehow he's not going before us. And I just have to believe that there are people here in this room that are wondering, I know that God is with me. I know that he's for me, but is he still resting on my life? Is he still a part of this relationship? And maybe you're not here wrestling with that question, but maybe you don't have a desire to know if God is resting on what you are doing. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a part of anything that God is not a part of. I don't want to be a part of anything that God does not have his hand on. I don't want to be a part of anything where if I know where the destination is and he's not there, I don't want to be a part of that. And we're living in a time right now where we need to be a church that cherishes the presence of God, that cares that whatever assignment they're on, that God is there with them. We are getting too comfortable with waking up in the morning and not asking for the presence of God to be with us. We're getting too comfortable with applying for jobs and not seeking God's face if this is the direction for your life. We're getting too comfortable with hopping in relationships with people we know that God ain't on it, but you still hop into it anyways and wonder why it's a hot mess. I got in a relationship earlier this year. Can I get an amen to that? I know the church mothers are like, oh God, I'm so grateful that you answered the prayer, Lord Jesus. I don't have to pray anymore. God answered it 4 years later. But when I remember when we first started dating, I started asking God, I said, God, are you on this? Are you going before me in this? When I get to the destination, which I believe hopefully is marriage, are you at the finish line? And if you're not, I gotta go. And I wanna encourage you, that's how we need to live as believers, especially in this day and age where things are so dark and a world needs Jesus. We as the church need to value the presence of God in everything that we do. And I'm not saying this to be cute so you can post this on Instagram. I'm saying it because this is a vital part of what we need to do. And as I think about the reality of the moments that I've had where I have wondered if God is with me, and I'm sure you've wondered too, there are four like comforting truths that I want to share with you that I hope just encourages you about God's commitment to you and I to stay present with us. Number one, it reads this. God desires to be with you. In verse 11, it says, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one would speak to a friend. And as you can visualize this, they were that close that the Bible describes that they were so close that they spoke face to face. Now, Moses did not see the actual face of God because his glory was so much, but what they were describing was that they had a close relationship, so much so that they can just speak so casually with one another as a one would speak to a friend. And oftentimes when people are preaching this, they kind of use this relationship kind of as the pinnacle of what you need to strive for. But in the same way that God was committed to making himself available to Moses as one would have a friend, God's committed to doing the same thing for us. You want me to prove it? The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. That's the proof that you have. Scripture shows us in 1 Corinthians 3:16, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? When Moses needed to meet with God, he had to go to a tent. He had to go up to a mountain. He had to go somewhere to encounter the presence of God. But because of the finished work on the cross and what Jesus did, that all of those barriers were removed. And now the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. And so we can access the presence of God. We can access God at any given point in time. God removed all the barriers because he desires to be with us. The greatest gift God gives us is not what he does for us, but that he is with us. If we are consumed more with what he can give than the presence that he has when we're with him, we're missing the whole point. The gift that he has given us is his presence. Number two, God will never leave you. The Lord replied, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Deuteronomy 31, 6 through 8 reads this, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And if the enemy has ever told you and made you believe that God is leaving you or he isn't with you, here is scripture to reaffirm. He will never leave you or forsake you. I'm a living testimony to this. In November of this year will mark 7 years of me being in full-time ministry here at Rock Church. And it has been a gangsta boogie ride, man. And like any college student, you go to college and you currently have a job that you didn't go to school for. I didn't go to school for this, y'all. I didn't go to school to preach in front of a bunch of people. And I for sure didn't go to school to become a pastor. And I remember when the church approached me about being a part of what they're doing here, I remember thinking to myself, I have no like history in youth ministry or young adults. I'm just kind of here serving. What makes you think that I'm qualified to do this? And honestly, I'm not standing here today to tell you that I know everything. However, here's what I will say to you is this. For every year that has passed, I have not been the most knowledgeable in the room. But the biggest flex that I have is I always knew that God was with me. I always knew what he was saying. I always knew he was going before me. I always knew what his voice was saying. That was what I held on to. My friends, God is calling all of you into an assignment to give him glory. And some of you are wondering, do I have what it takes? Yes, you do, because of who is with you. Yes, you do, because of who is in you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Number three, and this is one of my favorite ones. Number three, God will be with you in the assignment. And the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you. And I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. And what I love about this verse right here is that throughout the verses that we read earlier, Moses is kind of getting a little gangster with God. And he's letting him know, like, hey, man, don't forget, you're the one who called me to this assignment with these people. And by the way, these aren't my people. These are your people. And as he continues to share with God this very candidly, he begins to kind of express the angst that he has. Like, God, I know that you've called me to this. I know that you've called me to this people. But I'm also deeply concerned about who's going to be there with me. Who's going to help me? And what I love about this passage is that it reminds us that when God calls us into assignment, he doesn't just send us off and say, hey, buddy, you got it. What he does is that he sends us an assignment, and then what follows is provision. What follows is his presence. What follows is the access to wisdom to fulfill what he's asking us to do. When God sends us on an assignment, he doesn't just send us on our own. He sends us and he goes with us. Now, I want this to get just real, just downloaded into your heart. Because we can say God is with me and you think this is so cute. And like, yes, God is with me and Jesus loves little children. But I need this to lock in your heart. How many of you guys know who Tim Cook is? Raise your hand. And there's a resounding not a lot of you. And God bless that. It's okay. Tim Cook is the CEO of Apple. Now imagine if Tim Cook was one of your guys' friends or one of your best friends. Now, I don't know what you guys would do if he was your friend, but I do know what I would do if Tim Cook was my friend. If Tim Cook was my friend, I would invite him to every single birthday party I had every month because I know when Tim is in the room, your girl is gonna get a good gift. I would invite Tim Cook to all the barbecues because I know when Tim is in the room, he's gonna bring something good because he has coins for days. When the newest Apple iPhone came out, you know, I'm not gonna wait in line at AT&T because I know Tim Cook. So I'm gonna call Tim and be like, hey, yo, Timmy. You know that Apple iPhone 17 that costs $2,000 and you're trying to make me make sense that I gotta pay $200 a month to get it? Can you just like hook me up and give me one of the phones? Right, because you're one of my friends. You have access to that. I can ask him things like that because I know what Tim has. You and I are saying that we understand that God is with us. and we know what God has, but we don't ask things of God like we know he is actually with us. Because if you actually believe that God was with you, you would say, you know what? I want to see the dead come to life because I know you can do it. I want to see provision happen because I know you can do it. Church, now is the time for us to rise up and start walking in the authority and walking in the access that we have. We are connected to a living God who listens to every single one of our cries, our declares and decrees, and we just can't be silent. Can't you see this world is so broken and we are sitting quiet knowing that we can ask God to move on our behalf? But we know if Tim Cook was our friend, we can know to ask for an iPhone. But we also know that we know God and we're timid with our requests. Friends, if there's nothing else that resonates in your heart today, knowing that God is with you is not just to have a little passenger princess in your life. Having God with you means that you have the greatest team in this life. You have the one who created, the one who knows all things, the one that can go before you, that knows the beginning and the end. You already won when the devil tries to tell you it's a loss here. And we gotta tap in like never before because the world needs Jesus. And we can't be walking around like believing people who don't think we have power when we do. God is with us on our assignment. And lastly, God's commitment to us in having his presence in our life is this: God will show evidence of his presence. Verse 21 and 23 of Exodus 33, it says, "Then the Lord said, 'There is a place near me where you may stand on a rock when my glory passes by. I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed you by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen.'" And I love this visual because God understands the fullness of his glory and what it can do if someone accesses it. And instead, he doesn't say, "Moses, I want you to stay far away." He creates a space for Moses to encounter his glory, encounter him closely without it crushing him. And what I love about this is that it shows that God is always looking for ways to show us that he's there. He's giving evidence. And for him, he gave this crazy visual of this wind going before him and protecting him along the way. Many of you here in this room are wondering, "God, do you have something special for my life? Do you have provision for my assignment?" And then there's also some of you who are currently in the assignment and you're wondering, "God, are you even in this?" And I'm here to tell you that when God is sending you on an assignment, he doesn't just send you by yourself. He also gives you evidence that he's there, evidence that he's going before you, evidence that you are not alone. And so if you're sitting right now and wondering what that could look like in your life, sometimes that evidence is being spoken through his word. That evidence can look like being spoken through a friend or a family member. The evidence can be seen all around us. God is screaming for different ways to speak to his children. And so I just want you to be encouraged that in this world right now that is filled with chaos and trying to discourage us, our God is not far. He is closer than ever before. He is with us. He is for us. He desires to be with us. And this is something that we need to hold on to as we continue to pursue our God-given assignments and continue to be a light in a very dark world. As I get ready to close, I want to remind you that there is so much happening in this world. And what's the difference between a person who believes and doesn't believe is this: we have access to God. We have the presence of God. And I want to remind you that God is committed, so much so, to keeping his presence in our lives, that I'm reminding you that God desires to be with you. God will never leave you. God will be with you in the assignment. And lastly, God will show evidence of his presence. And I want to read you the closing of this passage. And as a reminder, how this went was Moses was crying out to God and letting him know he was fearful of losing his presence. And God reminds him, I'm coming with you. I'm coming with you. And you would think that in that moment, Moses would just settle for, okay, I got God with me. I got everything I need. But he doesn't stop there. Look at Exodus 33, 17 through 18. And it reads this. And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you've asked because I am pleased with you and know you by name. In that moment, God reassures Moses once again. And then Moses responds, not with a freak out, not wondering where he is. He says, show me your glory. My friends, it is very evident that God is committed to being with us. God is committed to having his presence just wrap himself in our lives. But the question that I want to invite to all of you here in this room and all of our locations is that do you desire to have the presence of God in your life? Do you desire to know that God is going before you in your destinations? Do you care that God is resting on your decisions? And if not, today is a beautiful day to humble yourself before the Lord and say, God, show me your glory. And in you asking that, you're not saying, God, show me a miracle. What you're saying is, show me the fullness of who you are. Show me all of who you are so that I may know you. Family, across our locations, I want to remind you, we can't take for granted the presence of God. He has freely given it to us for us to access it. We need to humble ourselves and stand before the Lord and say, you know what, God? I'm done settling for a life where I just check off the marks on the boxes. I want to know you and I want to experience the fullness of your glory. Now, in just a moment, I want to just give a moment to pray over every single person here in this room. And I also want to extend an invitation to pray for people who want to accept Jesus and begin today a relationship with Jesus. So right now, I want to encourage everyone to bow their heads and close their eyes. And what I want to do is pray for two groups. The first group is here in this room, and you're a believer, but you want more of the presence of God in your life. You want him to reveal his glory in your life. And I'm gonna pray for you. And then second, you're here in this room and across our locations, and you're saying, you know what? Today, I wanna start walking with Jesus. I want his presence in my life. I want the Holy Spirit to live inside of me. And you wanna begin a journey today. And if you're one of those people, right where you are without looking, if you're a person who says, I want prayer to get more of God's presence in my life, or two, you want prayer to accept Jesus in your life, on the count of three, right where you are where no one else is watching, I'm just gonna pray for you. Raise your hand on the count of three. One, now is the time. Two, today is the day of salvation. Three, tomorrow isn't promised. Raise your hand, raise your hand, raise your hand real high. Raise your hand. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. God, I pray right now for every single person who has their hands raised here in this room and also across our locations. God, I pray right now that you would release your manifest glory over every single person's life right now in Jesus' name. Show them your glory. And right now, I also want to pray for the person who says, you know what? I want today to be the day that I begin a relationship with you. And if that's you, I want you to repeat this quick prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. Say, dear God, I know that I'm a sinner in need of a savior. I know that your son died on the cross for my sins. And when he did that, he conquered the grave, death, and my sin. Today, I repent of my old life and turn to the new life I have in God. I love you, Lord, and thank you for this journey that we begin together. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you, Rock Church. I pray that you know, like never before, that God desires to be with you. And so walk in that faithfully. In Jesus' name, God bless you.